Hi, welcome to the Let's K-12 Better podcast. This podcast is a project between me, Mom of All Capes, and my kids.
Hi!
In our podcast, we will cover a variety of subjects involving K-12 education and family life.
We will talk about the ways that parents, kids, and educators can improve K-12 education and family life.
We encourage you to join our conversation on social media using the hashtag #LetsK12Better.
Let's jump into Season 2, Episode 25 of the Let's K-12 Better podcast. In this episode, we sat down with a longtime friend and former basketball teammate of my mom's, Christina Briboneria. Christina is a managing director and certified financial planner at Oxygen Financial and a person we trusted to give us the 101 on financial goals, questions about the stock market, and retirement. We hope this conversation will spark some ideas on how to think about financial planning, how to bring young people into the discussions on financial literacy, and how you define financial freedom for yourself and your family. This isn't financial advice, but we have linked Christina's contact information in the show notes if you have any questions about what we've discussed. We hope you enjoy our conversation.
We are delighted to have managing director, certified financial planner, and longtime friend and teammate, Christina Briboneria, with us today on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share knowledge around financial planning and the financial industry.
Yes. Oh my God. So I really do believe that our audience could definitely use this. Knowledge is power. So everyone, please make sure that you're focused in. We will have links to all that was mentioned in this episode in the show notes. And I'll probably say that again, but you know, let's get this party started. You ready?
Let's start by having our listeners get to know you. You're a private CFO at Oxygen Financial. Can you share a bit about what a certified financial planner does and what led you to this path?
So basically, I got into this industry because I went to college at Oberlin College with your mom and graduated with both a math and history major. And immediately after college, I wanted to help people and really empower and educate them around their finances. And the biggest reason why was that I grew up from a not wealthy family. And so I wanted to just know more about the industry, and I wanted to really just help people from my background just get further in life, especially knowing about more about finances.
Sharing that you grew up not with a wealthy background, right? Like, how does that kind of inform the way that you approach like the work that you do with your clients and the way that you approach the financial field?
So in terms of the approach, I think I approach it in a way where everybody is coming from the same place and not starting a meeting knowing that a person knows everything about finances. And what I mean by that is I want to make sure that every client, every person that I work with has at least the basics of financial planning and can understand that when I'm working with them. And a lot of the time, folks who may not come from a wealthy background or may not have a lot of money from their parents or family lines can sometimes feel really nervous coming in and meeting with a financial planner or even talking about and learning about finances. So my intent is always to just make sure that we start with the basics so that we're all on the same playing field when it comes to the financial terminology and verbiage that we're using.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it kind of leads into perfectly actually into our next question. Because again, knowledge is power. Empowering people is super awesome. So Garvey, you have our next question.
Let's talk a bit about financial literacy and financial freedom. How are financial literacy and financial freedom connected?
I think these two are extremely connected and correlated. And I believe that the more financial literacy that people have, the further it can lead them into financial freedom. So by educating and empowering more people and by having and grasping knowledge about financial products or strategies, it'll lead people to save their money more, which can continue to lead them to not relying on others or the banks to be financially set.
I have just kind of an addition. You know, there are a lot of people who will never make like millions of dollars across their lifetime, right? How do you approach financial freedom, you know, for like a client who's like, they may never make $1 million or they'll never make millions of dollars. You know, how do you approach financial freedom for that individual?
So, you know, financial freedom is relative and personal to everyone. I actually have worked with several clients and actually many clients who never have made more than six figures in their lives. But what they did was they were diligent in their savings. They, you know, made sacrifices throughout their working years to make sure that they got to a point where they personally were financially free from the things that were important to them. So you don't necessarily need to make a lot of money to be financially free, but you may need to be disciplined and create a strategy to get you there.
Love that. I definitely love that because it is an individual process, which actually kind of leads into the value of having a financial planner partner with you. So Naima's going to read our next question.
Why should someone consider having a financial planner? What do you do to educate and empower your clients?
I think the biggest reason somebody should have a financial planner is to really hold them accountable towards their goals. It's like anything that we do. If you want to get better at that particular subject or sport, you hire a tutor or you may hire a coach. And as a financial planner who's been doing this for 17 years, I actually consider myself as a person to hold people accountable towards their goals. So coaching them to save more, encouraging them to make those small adjustments so that they can be financially free and continue to reach their financial goals that they're planning for. And as a planner, you know, one of the biggest things that I help our clients do is just really educating them on the types of financial strategies that are available to them and empowering them to just do better with their finances.
So I'm going to kind of ask a follow-up because, you know, part of financial planning may be like stock options or your retirement plan or something like that, right? Right now, there's like a lot of apps like Cash App and Venmo, you know, that are encouraging people to like invest or purchase stocks. Can you talk about those and like just how they work or even share your thoughts on them?
Yeah. So what's happened over the last several years is finance is going mainstream. It used to be that you had to have a certain amount of money to start investing, or you had to have a minimum income or amount to even start buying stocks. But with websites and apps like Cash App, Venmo, Robinhood, finances are now going to the consumer and making it easier for people to invest. What I like about these apps is it makes it easy for the client to start investing something. So whether it's a dollar a day or $50 a month, it allows them to start doing something.
Is there anything that you're just like, maybe not?
So we're seeing a lot of people start to use Robinhood, and I think it's a great way to initially start investing. However, what people need to be cognizant of is that it's not a game. So there are apps that gamify investing. And unfortunately, you don't want to necessarily gamify these things when it comes down to your money. You want to make sure that you have a well thought out and laid out strategy to save and invest so that long term, your money continues to grow, specifically for the goal that you're saving for.
Okay. So thank you so much. I really like the way that you kind of broke that down for our listeners. I myself have wondered just a bit about like, is this okay? Is this not okay? I do want to remind everyone, you know, that this is not a like telling our listeners how to invest their money or, you know, what to do. This is just hopefully an opportunity to make you more aware of, you know, this field and like, why you should participate in it, right? And join in. Okay, so speaking of our listeners, Garby has our next question.
Our audience includes parents, educators, and students. Many adults need help understanding finance and investments. Do you have any advice, tools, or resources you'd recommend to parents interested in taking a financial literacy journey with their kids?
Absolutely. The first piece of advice that I'll start with is start early. So there are statistics out there that say a person who starts saving starting when they're 21 and saves until they're 31 will always have more money than the person who saves starting at 31 all the way until the rest of their life. And the reason being is we have to understand early on the time value of money. So the sooner you can start, the more you'll be able to invest and have your assets grow. So that's the first piece of advice I want to give to parents and students that are out there. As far as tools, I think there are several tools that I find helpful in my industry. One is called Investopedia.com, and it actually gives you details about certain topics, or if you are interested about a certain strategy, you can Google it, or you know, go to Investopedia and type in that strategy, and it'll give you a breakdown of what other financial professionals are seeing for that strategy. The second tool that I like to use is actually Wall Street Journal market tools. What's really cool about Wall Street Journal is you can type in the company that you're interested in investing into, and it'll tell you everything about that company. So potential share price targets, what other people are saying about the company, and it's a cool way to get involved in investing early on with your kids.
So definitely as a parent who lets my kids pick companies on Cash App and on, you know, Robinhood, I think it's definitely cool to let them kind of look at like how many employees are in the company, look at, you know, what are the trends, also looking at how has this company fared over time, short term and long term, looking at that graph. So we will provide links to the resources that Christina mentioned. But also, you know, if you have questions for her, we definitely recommend that you reach out to her, and we will have her contact information in the show notes. One more thing is, and I don't know, you know, Christina, definitely jump in if you have any thoughts on this, but, you know, Garby loves the company Roblox. And so as soon as they went public, we were like, oh my God, we got to get some shares. Like, I was like, Christina, how do we get shares? How do we do this? Right. Yeah. So what advice do you have for parents, you know, especially if their kid is interested in a company?
So one of the things that I typically recommend parents do is create a list of places that you or your kids like to spend your money at. So for example, if you're often spending your money at Target, it might make sense to potentially invest in Target stock. Or if you find that your kids are investing in and playing Roblox a lot, then, you know, it might make sense to do that. A really good example is a lot of folks like playing video games, and, you know, it might be worthwhile to look at video gaming companies if you know your kids are spending a lot of money on video games. So whatever you're spending your time on or spending your money on, sometimes it also may make sense to invest in those things.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So financial literacy, yay. But we have another question. We're like coming down here to the end. I think that this has been a super dope conversation. Naima, you have our next question.
We often do not learn about investment and finance in schools. Do you have any advice for K-12 educators on how or where they can bring concepts into the classroom?
Absolutely. So one of the first things that I could recommend for K-12 educators is possibly creating some form of finance club. Now, these finance clubs could be a way for students to learn to do research about certain companies, but also be able to track how these companies are doing and really learn about how the stock market itself works. The second strategy that educators could also implement would be classroom bucks, for example, where if a student does something well, they get incentivized, but then they can spend those classroom bucks on certain experiences or certain prizes in the classroom that may cost a certain amount of bucks, if you would. And that can help teach kids to budget their bucks, plan out how they want to spend their bucks over the year, and really help them start to, you know, save those dollars for a bigger prize versus something that might give them just instant gratification.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I just think, you know, in our society, we don't do enough teaching people about money and its role in our lives, right? And equity and, you know, having your money make money for you. You know, we didn't ask this question. I want to go back to like families and maybe even educators too. You know, what are some general things that like adults come to you about, right? That they're like, I never learned this growing up. Do you have any things that, you know, folks have shared throughout your 17 awesome years of doing this work?
Absolutely. So because I work with a breadth of clients, you know, I see it all. And very simply, you know, we have clients that may be as simple as looking up and setting up their budget. So determining how much they're spending each month and helping them create a budget for themselves. We have clients that may need, you know, insurances to really protect their families if somebody passes away or gets injured and can't work. So we look at life insurance or disability insurance for families. The other thing is that all of our clients are saving for something. And so sometimes they may not know how to prioritize those savings goals. So they might be saving for their kids' college educations or their new home or new car, but they're trying to find ways to better save and prioritize for those things. So we help a lot of our clients prioritize and determine where they should be saving for that particular goal and how much they should be saving for that goal. The other thing that we help our clients do is just overall retirement planning. Obviously, you know, no one wants to have to work forever. So we help a lot of people just figure out what to do with their retirement accounts at work. We figure out how much, again, they should be saving for retirement and just, again, making sure that they're investing properly. And then we also work with business owners. We also work with people who just need better ideas on what to do with their money. So we see it all.
That's awesome. So we are here at the end, which is insane. But I would like for you to just let the listeners know, like, where can people find you? What else would you like to share, like, that we didn't cover, right? So shout outs to all of that. Like, what else would you like to share, and where can folks find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to first also, you know, end with that you can start anywhere. So financial planning does not require a person to have a ton of money. People have to start somewhere. And as long as you get started, you know, you're doing better for yourself and your future. So that's the first thing, is really make sure that you start somewhere. The second thing is, if you need help, there are people out there that'll help you. So feel free to reach out. I'm one of those people, and I am more than happy to provide complimentary consultations to anybody who needs help and just has questions about their finances. And they can actually reach me at a few places. So you can reach me at my email address at Christina with no H at oxygenfinancial.net. You can follow me on Instagram at Christina23B. And you can also visit my website at ChristinaBrubineria.com. And by all means, please reach out, because I think people can start somewhere. And if you already have financial planning and you just want a second set of eyes, I'm more than happy to help as well.
Yo, all good things. And like, as you were talking about starting anywhere, we heard that chime, like a confirmation notification. Yes, yes, yes. I hope that everyone has absorbed all the information that Christina has shared today. Again, we will have all the links in the show notes. Christina, this has been just a wonderful, wonderful conversation. We really appreciate you taking the time and joining us today. What do we say, y'all?
Thank you.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, and thank you again for the opportunity to share.
Awesome. Awesome.
This is the part of the show when we usually share takeaways and read quotes, but we are working on revamping our show. We think that Christina's interview on financial planning is timely in helping us think about goal setting for 2022. An important part of setting goals is understanding how far you've come, or taking time to reflect. We closed out 2021 with Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is an opportunity for Black people, specifically those descendants of enslaved peoples, to reflect and look ahead. We use this time to hold family discussions, connect with friends and family, and explore our history. This week was the perfect opportunity for us to collect our thoughts and set goals for the upcoming year, and we look forward to this fresh start. 2021 has been a year of challenges. We started the year with an insurrection, we continued another year of the global pandemic, and we watched parents, politicians, and educators go head-to-head on a new form of McCarthyism on issues like critical race theory and educational equity. What lessons can we take with us to the year ahead? What should we leave behind? As we prepare for what's in store for 2022, we hope that you will set goals, pursue your passions, and prioritize your health and wellness and the health and wellness of others. We will see you in late January for season 3.
Thank you for listening to the Less K-12 Better podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe.
We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media at Let's K-12 Better on all social media platforms, or connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, and Clubhouse at Mom of All Capes. We've got a newsletter with awesome resources and tools for families and educators. The link is in the show notes, so please sign up. The Let's K-12 Better podcast is available on every podcasting platform. So if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review our podcast. Your feedback helps us grow. Thank you so much for listening.